Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The spring of 2024, and again in the spring of 2025, anti-Semitism on the elite universities of the United States of America. Where did it come from? What is to be done? I welcome my colleague Tal Fortgag, a senior legal fellow at the Manhattan Institute, writing most recently at Civitas Outlook, part of Civitas Institute, University of Texas at Austin. First, about what the problem is and how it identifies itself most clearly at our most extreme elite university. That would be Harvard University, the oldest in the nation, I believe, and one that is aware of the problem. But then, Tal, a very good evening to you. Thank you. Your essay is very helpful. It begins with a quotation from the now president of Harvard, Alan Garber. No government, regardless of which party is in power, should dictate what private universities can teach, whom they can admit and hire, and which areas of study and inquiry they can pursue. That is the president of Harvard speaking. Your response to that remark is excellent. How do you see that remark? Because it certainly is a challenge to disagree with it right away. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and thank you for having me on. Thank you for the opportunity to talk about this. You're exactly right to say that that's the kind of statement that you'd be hard-pressed to disagree with, at least on the surface. And indeed, it has caught on and become a kind of rallying cry for what is coming to be known as the academic resistance, the leadership of elite universities pushing back against the Trump administration's fight to defund these institutions on account of their alleged tolerance of discrimination. And it's the kind of message that has resonated quite widely. The university presidents have echoed one another. The government doesn't get to tell universities what to teach, who to hire, who to admit. The problem is that it's wrong. Legally, morally, ethically, it's just wrong. We settled the question of whether it was wrong in passing the Civil Rights Act, our landmark civil rights legislation, which says that the government has the right to pull its support from institutions that tolerate discrimination. And the question is, then, can discrimination stem from, can it be traced to what universities teach, who they hire, and whom they admit? And of course, the answer to those things is, of course, universities can be teaching things that are discriminatory. And in the piece, I invite readers to think about a hypothetical university that has a department of white supremacy, that has, and I took some examples from things that have occurred at Harvard and just changed Jewish to black and various other groups to white. And we have imagined that there are student groups running around Harvard saying that European that African migration to Europe is wrong, and the black Africans should go back where they came from because they don't belong in Europe. Does anyone doubt that such a student group would be reflective of the university admitting students who are prone to discrimination. Imagine they were selecting for such students. Imagine that they were selecting for teachers who egged them on and gave them the ammunition and the language with which to engage in such discrimination. You can easily trace discriminatory outcomes to things that are generally protected by academic freedom. And in such cases, it is wholly appropriate for our civil rights enforcers, for the federal government, to come in and say, we need to root out the source of this discrimination, whether it is in the classroom, in the administration, in the faculty, in the students, whatever it is, we need to deal with this problem. Or we're not going to throw you in prison, Harvard administration, but we are going to revoke your federal support.
There is reason to believe that Harvard was not surprised by the demonstrations in 24 and that Columbia was not surprised by the continued demonstrations in 25. There's a 1,000-page report, which I have not read, but I have seen quotations from, produced by Harvard, that is vivid in saying, we've got a problem here, and we've had it for a long time. And this didn't come up because of the October 2023 attack on Israeli settlers. This came up because Harvard let it go on for a long time. And Tal, why I want to emphasize this is that what drives this is a prejudice that comes from someplace outside the university. And the university is not patrolling for it or not filtering for it or not worrying about it. Do we know why they didn't worry about it?
That's an excellent question. I would surmise that the reason these elite universities tend to continue admitting students who are prone to prejudices that fester into bigotry and outright discrimination and harassment and occasionally assault is that those prejudices tend to correlate with certain trendy, chic, progressive political views. That high school graduates who are applying to these elite institutions signal that they are agitators and activists for social justice, which involves taking up the cause of downtrodden groups at the expense of groups that are seen as exploiters or oppressors. And that is a flashing green light, if you will, to admissions officers saying, admit this student. They have the right attitude and the right moral compass. It turns out that kind of attitude it goes along with seeing Jews and Israelis as white oppressors, colonizers, interlopers, people who go where they don't belong and exploit indigenous people of color to their own advantage. And they end up perhaps somewhat unwittingly, but not completely unknowingly, admitting a surprisingly large percentage of radicals who end up doing and saying things that are quite abhorrent and possibly even illegal.
Columbia suspended 65, we were told, after the most recent incident, which was deliberately disrupting studying at Lowe Library during finals preparation. They expelled them. Is that is a resignation, a recognition by Columbia that they've got a problem. Harvard, to my knowledge, has not moved in a similar fashion. So we have two different approaches here, neither of which is completely answered. The question as to why did this begin in the first place? Alan Garber's letter, where we started, is suggestive of some very high-toned position in the world about freedom of speech. I do not believe that is the problem. Is it, Tal, freedom of speech? We're not telling them what to say. We're advocating defending their own students.
No, I don't think freedom of speech is the heart of the issue. If it were, then it wouldn't be such a struggle to get Harvard to implement any kind of sanction against people who violate, who go well beyond speech in their discriminatory actions. I mean, there was an editor on the Harvard Law Review who was on video assaulting an Israeli student. They're both students at Harvard institutions. One assaults the other. The case has subsequently gone to some kind of diversionary justice for the offender. The school did not do anything. They didn't even slap the offender on the wrist. Instead, they feature a glowing profile of him on the law school website as someone who's fighting for social justice. They are providing him with a $65,000 stipend to go work at the Council on American Islamic Relations after he graduates from law school. These people are not held accountable for their actions that truly have nothing to do with speech, right? They are perhaps expressive in the sense that every time someone throws a punch, they throw it for a reason. But assaulting a classmate is not speech. Perhaps I could take the free speech. I would call them purists, but it's not a matter of purity about free speech. It's the people who want to lump everything in as a free speech issue. Perhaps I could take them seriously if they were willing to bring the heavy hand of school rules and the law to bear against people who engage in a certain kind of conduct for the same kind of speech that they're looking to defend. But this just leads me to believe that it's about agreement with the substance of the expression, that if you assault someone for the right reason, we're going to try to defend it as free speech, or sweep it under the free speech into the rubric. It just strikes me as completely disingenuous to call this a speech issue. It also strikes me as disingenuous to say we have a very serious problem, we're working on it, and also we absolutely refuse to confront the possibility that our classroom content, curricula, admissions, student body, faculty, we refuse to accept that they could be playing any role in furthering our discrimination problem. That's speaking out of both sides of your mouth.
Tal Fortgag is a senior legal fellow at the Manhattan Institute, writing at Civitas Outlook for Civitas Institute. When we come back, what is to be done? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Pro Savings Days are back at Lowe's. MyLowe's Pro Rewards members save even more with limited-time doorbuster deals. Save $5 on 24-count Contractor's Choice 42-gallon trash bags, now just $14.78. Plus, get your choice select DeWalt Elite Series saw blades for $9.98. Not a Pro Rewards member? Join for free today at Lowe's. Valid through 9/17. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.